Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
It's been a busy week for us traveling across northeastern Europe. We, about a week ago, we were in Helsinki, Finland, and we took a bus across to little Turku. And this used to be the capital of Finland. It's a small medieval city, really cute little place, very walkable. But the first thing we did was rented bicycles to do a 100-kilometer loop around the area. And we took 3 days to do this trip, but that was at a very relaxed pace. We could have easily done it in 2 days if we had been more pressed for time. The trip took us through a lot of little villages and then onto these islands. And the islands had a lot of really tall pine trees on them and a lot of wheat fields and some red barns. So they kind of reminded us of Wisconsin. Strangely enough, the only really big difference was that the water surrounding these islands was ocean water. This was the Baltic Sea. It was very bizarre. You would never know that you're on the ocean until you went pretty close to the water and smelled it or tried to drink it, which really was the only actual issue that we had, that we didn't have much access to fresh water for parts of this trip. At one point, we got to the end of this island. We thought it would be more populated than it was. There were no shops, and the land was completely dry. We had a water filter with us, but that was useless without any water at all. And we ended up sleeping in this little ferry waiting hut while waiting for the ferry the next morning. Luckily, a fisherman there gave us a little bit of drinking water, and we had a little bit left. So we were thirsty, but not in too dire of a situation. And the next day we took a ferry across. We continued biking up and down these rolling hills. Really had a fantastic time seeing the countryside. And we returned our bikes after 3 days to Turku and headed back to Helsinki. Then the next day we went with our friends, Faye and Tapani, and we took another really big ferry this time across the sea southbound to Tallinn, the capital of Estonia. And Tallinn is this medieval city with cool like walls surrounding it and castles and all these old churches, and you could really get a feel for how the people there would have had to defend themselves against invading armies. And you can get a feel for the old characteristics of the town. It was a really cool place to visit. At the end of the day, we headed back to Finland by the same ferry. And this time we figured out that the majority of people who ride this ferry are only doing so to buy alcohol at very low rates in Estonia compared with Finland. They came back onto this ferry carting basically luggage carriers full of 4 or 5 cases of beer each. And then once we got on board, everyone pretty much got absolutely hammered to the point where they could barely walk. Except for us. We were completely sober because we bought some beers before coming on the ship. And as soon as we cracked them open and took one tiny sip, this security guard came up and took them away. She said that, well, there's a bar on the ship that where you can buy your own beer. Of course, this beer on the ship was heavily inflated in price. So we didn't go for that. And we were pretty upset by this because we had bought the beer right next to the ship in the waiting area of the company that runs the ship. And I didn't see any signage saying you couldn't take this on board. And in fact, it was cold beer ready to be drunk. everyone else seemed to understand that what you're supposed to do is fill a canteen with vodka and drink that and hide it from the security. Because no one was really buying alcohol on the ship. They were all just getting absolutely wasted on the stuff they had just bought in the city for really pennies on the dollar, or on the euro, as it were. Anyway, that was a minor little thing that happened. We got back to Helsinki in good spirits, despite our sobriety and despite everyone else around us falling to the ground as they stumbled off of the ship. Then we later said goodbye to our friends Faye and Tapani, and a couple days ago we took a train from Helsinki, Finland, into Russia. And right now we're in St. Petersburg. I was a little nervous to take this train, not really because of any real concerns, but basically just because of people's reaction around me. Everyone seems to be concerned about Russia at this point, but really it was no problem getting here. And St. Petersburg is a beautiful city. The buildings are huge and grandiose, and there's all these canals. It's kind of the Amsterdam of Russia. The buildings are a bit newer than the ones we were seeing in Finland, mostly from the 19th century. We've got a lot of exploring left to do in this great city. We're still pretty new at this in Russia. The people don't really speak the language, but that's all right. We've already met a couple of friendly people that we've been hanging out with. And pretty soon we're going to take the train down to Moscow and head across the country via the Trans-Siberian Railway, which gets me into today's guests. They are Yari and Nadia. And Yari is originally he's from Finland. He was born in Sweden, spent a lot of time there. And Nadia is Russian. She's from Kamchatka, a peninsula on the far east of the country. And they both used to live in Beijing, China. Now, Katie and I never met them in Beijing, although I think our time there overlapped by a little bit. And I hung out at their apartment and recorded the podcast with them. And for them to come to Finland, they took the Trans-Siberian train as well from Vladivostok across. So they basically did the opposite routes that Katie and I are going to do. So I really picked their brains for a lot of information about where to go, who to meet, where to stay, what to do. So I think you're going to enjoy this one, especially if you yourself are interested in the Trans-Siberian Railway. Let's get into my conversation with Nadia and Yari. Where did you guys meet?
We met in Beijing.
Yes, we met in Beijing in a CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
You're both into the CrossFit activity?
Well, we are into activity, but we are not this kind of crazy CrossFitters. You know, this kind of very, obsessed. Not obsessed CrossFitters. We take it only as a sport exercise. Like, we take it lightly. Yeah,
so it's like going to any other gym kind of thing?
Yeah.
I was actually the Olympic weightlifting coach in this gym, so I was teaching there.
For the Olympic team?
No, Olympic weightlifting is a sport.
Oh, it's a type of sport. Oh, okay.
So it's snatch and clean and jerk. So it's a part of CrossFit also. They do snatches and clean and jerks.
Huh. And the CrossFit just had their championships.
Yeah.
For, I think it was, or World Games or something like that in Wisconsin. And that's where I'm from.
Yes.
And so, right. So like maybe a week and a half ago, on one of our last nights in the country, we were just going out and getting dinner with some friends, and there were all these huge muscular people walking around.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? I've never seen so many muscles.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
And then we realized it was CrossFit.
Yeah.
And they were all going out to dinner. And so every restaurant in the downtown area was full. I guess every hotel was booked.
Oh.
Because this is just a small city.
Yeah.
Not normally capable of hosting such a big thing.
Yeah. Well, for me, I just started to, in order to be in better shape, CrossFit. So I like in the first year I lost like I would say how much weight, well, some weight, and then later on I met Yari and joined his class, lost another 10 kilos, something like that. So it was more of health thing, you know. Yeah. So.
Sounds cool. I mean, everybody's got to have their thing, right?
Yeah.
You listen to Morgan's podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's so dedicated with just going to the gym and with a trainer. Working out.
But because, you know, otherwise it won't work, because I feel like a lot similar to Morgan, because I also tried all kind of crazy diets. And I don't know, jumping with the Swedish people, aerobics, it's a movement, you know.
Jumping?
Yeah, it's like pink shorts, a man wearing pink shorts and doing aerobics.
That's required, the pink shorts?
Yes, this is a necessary.
It burns more calories?
Yeah, the pink shorts.
What is it, the way the light hits your butt off of the paint?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh, aerobics?
Aerobics, aerobics.
Oh, aerobics.
Aerobics.
Like, hey.
Hey, yeah, like Swedish people.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to look into this. I'll,
yes, yes, I'll you should totally look. They have a lot of funny videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Yari, are you Swedish or are you Finnish?
I'm Finnish.
You're Finnish.
But I'm born in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you kind of grew up in both cultures?
Yeah. I was born in Sweden, then first years I lived in Finland, then we moved back to Sweden. I went to primary school there, high school, university. So, yeah, I'm pretty much in both cultures, so I speak natively both Swedish and Finnish.
Are those two languages really different?
Yes.
They're
completely different.
Okay, but what about Norwegian? Is that related to
Swedish?
It's related to Swedish.
It's close to Swedish.
Oh, okay.
So I can understand Norwegian well. So
okay.
I could speak to a Norwegian person.
Huh. But Finnish is just off on its own, huh?
Yeah, it's a completely...
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording how
the
grammar just seems so complicated.
Yes, because yesterday we learned this man form. And if you think about this man form, it's a form which is attached to the verb.
Uh-huh.
So verb plus the ending. And it becomes some new form. But what is it? How you classify it? I was asking our teacher. Is it a noun? Is it adjective? A verb? You know, this verb plus man. Or, like, what is it?
Mm.
And there is no... She can't think of any analogous. Like, man form.
No other language has this?
Well, we couldn't... Because I talked to my classmates. They speak Portuguese. They speak German, French, Arabic even. And none of us, Chinese, Russian, none of us could think where we would meet this. So, very unique.
Sounds extremely difficult. And so, are you taking this class because you have to or because you want to?
I think I want to and I have to. It's because we plan to stay. We plan to stay, and it's not only my conclusions that I need language to live here. I mean, you can go by English, of course, but if you want to make friends with Finnish people and to find work, like, you need language. It will make your experience much more, how can I say?
Like a rich experience.
Rich experience. Complete.
Deeper. Yeah.
Yes. Because I was just talking to my Brazilian classmate yesterday, who is here 3 years, who is doing her second bachelor here, because her first bachelor wasn't recognized in Finland. And so I was talking to her and she said that, well, if you plan to stay, you must learn Finnish, because she feels that she would be more connected even to her, in her workplace, to like, to her surroundings. And now she feels like she's in the bubble because she can't understand what's really going on around her.
Right. Yeah.
She doesn't need language for work. She works in English, but still.
Still helps, huh?
Yes.
I mean, even in a country where almost everyone seems to speak English here.
Yeah.
And I've had many times people come up to me assuming that I'm Finnish and just speak to me in Finnish. And
yes.
And I say, oh, do you speak English? And they go, oh, you're a tourist. But they almost always do. But I could totally see how that would enrich your experience to know the language. Just must be a little frustrating though when it's like, oh, why don't we just switch to English? You know, do they ever say that to you? Do Finnish people ever say that?
No.
If you try to speak to them in their language?
I try to speak to them in Finnish, and they usually they just directly switch to English. But I think because my current Finnish is just too basic.
Oh, okay.
When it gets better, I think we can, we will be speaking in Finnish, definitely. I think
sure.
So, yeah. So, and sometimes when they're very, very seldom, if their English is worse than my Finnish, then,
well, then
we
of course,
continue. Yes.
That's just such a huge advantage or benefit of living in China.
Yeah.
Because almost no one speaks English there.
Yeah.
So even when I first moved there, my Chinese totally sucked. I knew like a few sentences. No one ever, almost never said, oh, let's just speak English. Because they couldn't.
Yeah.
So it really helped me improve my Chinese because I had to use it.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get around.
Yeah.
So really, it, in some ways, China is just so isolating if you're not from there.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was 5 years old. Like I couldn't read anything. Couldn't, like, I needed help with everything.
but you speak Chinese in the end.
I'm kind of at an intermediate level, although I've found it's been kind of falling off, even though it's only been about 2 months since I've been there. I'm just forgetting words and I'm doing the tones wrong. And it's a little frustrating.
Really?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah. Although it seems like when I talk to Faye, our friend who we're staying with, when I talk to her, she seems to understand me, but then her mom can't understand me. So I think Faye's able to adjust for my accent.
Yeah, that must be the thing. Yeah, it happens pretty often.
Sure.
Any foreigners, I think.
There are certain people who just have a lot of experience communicating with foreigners and kind of know when they'll say the wrong words and,
and their own tones. Yeah.
Just today I said, "我马上走了." I'm about to leave.
I understood what you said.
But I was supposed to say sola, not sola.
Sola.
Yeah. And her mom, Faye had to explain it to her mom.
Uh-huh.
And her mom sola, not sola.
Yes.
So I think I said I'm about to sit down or something.
Yeah.
Or about to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. How's your Chinese?
It's good. I mean, it's fluent. So.
Yeah. How long did you live there?
A long time. 10 years is a long, long time. 10 years.
In Beijing?
In Beijing, yeah.
And how about you, Yari?
4 years.
4 years? Were you fluent too?
No, I don't speak at all.
No?
No. I never had any use of it in my work, so so most of my time I spent at work and then at training. So that was pretty much my life.
Oh, and your main job was... Olympic weightlifting?
No, I'm a software engineer.
Oh, right, yeah. So, and the whole office just spoke English?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So.
Yeah, okay. So, but what made you want to learn English then, Nadia? You learned Chinese.
Yes.
It's interesting, you guys were both there for a long time, and one learned Chinese, one didn't. Like, what made you want to learn it?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not there. I call it a computer genius, as my husband. Very sadly, I can't program, and I have no interest in programming, I must say. Yes. So, when I got to China, I remember, I don't like to be dependent on other people in general. It annoys me very much. I don't like to ask for help. I don't like to ask for anything.
Sure.
So I was very annoyed first few years, first half a year, because I remember I was living in Tianjin. It's, you know, Tianjin is a city.
Tianjin?
It's close
to
Beijing. Yeah, Tianjin, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's much cheaper than Beijing, but
yes.
They still got the native, all of the northern pronunciation, very standard.
Yeah, it's a small city, what, like 10 million?
Yes, small village of 11 million people. Tianjin.
Yeah.
So I was living there, and I remember my first weeks I went to restaurant, and as a student, of course, you don't have money to go to expensive place, so you go to cheaper place. And everything is in characters, and I wanted chicken, I remember. And I was explaining to them half an hour in Russian and in English and in every possible way that I want chicken and rice.
Yeah.
It didn't work, so in the end I'm like, okay, I'm just taking some random stuff. And I got some horrible cabbage without salt. And I was like, I must speak as fast as I can.
Okay, some of their cabbage dishes are really good.
Yeah, no, it was just not that one. No.
You didn't try going like bok, 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 bok.
Maybe I should have, but I at that time, you know, it's 2006, not so many foreigners in Tianjin. Now it's pretty international, but back then, like, Chinese people used to stop and take pictures of me in the street.
Sure, yeah. Like they still do in smaller cities, yeah. But they wouldn't do that in Tianjin.
Not anymore. No. Yeah, because so many of foreigners. So, and another thing is that, yeah, for my field, for my work, I must speak Chinese. If I don't speak, I don't have job. That's for sure.
Oh, what kind of work did you do?
Trade, export, import between Russia and China.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So you have to talk to suppliers or to your clients if you sell something in Chinese.
Sure.
As our teacher says, Finnish teacher, it's hard to speak without words. So,
especially on the phone, or were you doing a lot of phone ordering?
It's a phone sales. I moved to sales later.
I find that's the hardest thing to do in another language. It's talk on the phone.
Yeah, it just you have to improve your language, and then But Chinese is not that hard. I mean, in comparison with Finnish.
Yeah, I actually agree. I'm with you. Yeah, I was kind of surprised at how simple the language is at first.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand, though, because there's so many homonyms in Chinese, like words that sound the same as other words, that I find my brain just cycling, like, what is, which one of the 10 different ways to say this is this word that you're saying?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but it's usually the context.
Yeah, there's a lot of context involved. I speak Spanish too, and there's just, it's so much more exact the way there's many more tenses in Spanish. You've got two ways to say the past tense, and you've got two ways to say to be, and they're not the same. They mean totally different things. And so if you say I was in Spanish, there's like four basic ways to say it. Then there's the subjunctive, and so there's many ways to say it, and they all mean different things. So if I need to say it, I can say it exactly, and you will be more likely to understand it, I think. But in Chinese, it's all the same word. You know what I mean? You have to have the right context to get the meaning of it.
Yeah.
So I found Chinese actually not that hard to study and to speak a few words, but understanding seems pretty hard for me still.
Yeah, but maybe you'll be back, no?
Yeah, maybe. I think with maybe 2 more years, if I studied pretty hard for a couple years, I think I'd be pretty fluent.
Yeah.
But I was only there for 3 years, so it wasn't quite enough to get me to a high level.
But you did like self-study, or you went to school?
Only self-study, right.
Oh, okay.
So if I had actually done it for work or gone to school, then I think I'd probably be fluent by now, honestly.
Yeah.
Considering how much I learned just studying on my own, and just going out and talking to people. And I agree, it's not that hard of a language to learn. And even the character system, once you learn a few hundred characters, which sounds horrible, it sounds daunting, but it doesn't take that long. It's like, I don't know, I studied pretty hard on my own for like a year, and I learned a couple hundred, and I'm like, okay, now I can read, not a newspaper, but I can read a menu maybe in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I can do the important things, get the gist of it. How about you guys, do you know the characters?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah? You are nothing. It'd be interesting to meet someone who can only read. I don't know. For some reason, I'm interested in this kind of thing. Because I meet a lot of people who can only speak it.
Yeah,
read it at all.
We also have some friends who only speak. Don't read. Don't write. In Chinese.
In Chinese.
Yeah, I think so.
But I kind of think to push yourself to a really high level, you just have to be able to read it.
Yeah.
Because you understand how the different parts of the characters go together to make words. It's a fun language.
Yeah, it's a fun language.
Is Finnish fun?
It's fun, yeah. It's just, I think that For the past 1 year, I was like taking, it's like 3 hours a week. It's very limited amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
In classroom and some work by myself, but I'm thinking that from the next year I will switch to full-time finish. I'm depending on the work again. But I'm kind of glad that it's usually the work that pushes me. Okay, it's very nice to say that, oh, I'm so interested in this culture and I just love it here and that's why I learned the language. But I feel, at least for me, if I have the necessity or like the goal to achieve, it pushes me more.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, somehow. Because it's a lot of effort. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah.
Do you ever think about maybe someday there will be a universal translator?
I don't know.
And then like all that work you put into learning languages is just gone.
It's gone. Well, I was telling Yari, I think someday I will learn Japanese. That's really my dream. Actually, originally I wanted to go to Japan, but I never got money to go there. And it's very hard for Russians to get visa.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's like impossible to go to Japan. Very, very difficult. Mm. Yeah. So instead, I went to China when I was 23.
Ah, that's what made you move there, huh?
Yeah, because it's I was interested in Asia somehow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you just go there with no job?
Yes, I went there to do master degree, but things didn't really work out the way I thought they would. I'm overall sometimes very casual with my planning, even of big things. Mm-hmm. That's why Yari is planning for our family, not me. Because if I don't be planning, it will be like
it's all over the place.
Yes, all over the place. So, yeah, I went there, and instead of masters, I did language course for first half a year, and then I did eventually masters, and then it took me, as I told you, 8 months to find work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took long time, huh?
Yeah, it took time, really. I was like, because, you know, when you, I think it's a lot of people, and I was talking to a Finnish lady who's doing research on immigrants. Mm-hmm. So she found a similar experience as me. A lot of people, when you are doing, I don't know, master or bachelor or PhD or whatever, in a foreign country, you feel like, okay, now I got education here, everybody will just hire me tomorrow. But it's not quite like...
Doesn't quite work like that.
No, it doesn't at all.
Right, it's just, I've got this paper, you must hire me.
No, it won't help.
Yeah, reality smacks you in the face.
Yes.
Once you get done. But you're from a pretty remote part of Russia, right?
Yes,
like you're from, that's Asia, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Well, yes, it is. It is Kamchatka, it's peninsula.
Right?
Yes,
right.
It's Asia, yes. Yes.
So, yeah, it's just, it's an interesting thing to think of people from Siberia or Kamchatka or whatever as Asian.
Yes.
From Asia.
Yes.
Yeah. So you actually had to move west then, didn't you? Move to Beijing.
No, first I moved to Moscow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was very west. It's, I think, 10 hours by plane from my hometown.
That's so big. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to think of, though, that you used to live east of Beijing and maybe east of Tokyo.
Yes. Yes.
East of Tokyo.
East.
So you moved to Moscow, then back, then all the way back to Beijing, huh?
Yeah, I was like in Kamchatka, then I moved to Moscow, then I moved to Tianjin, then to Beijing, and then we are back to the West. Now we are back to the West.
Right, back to Europe.
Yes, back here.
And Yari, what made you move to China?
I had a friend from high school who moved to China for work, and he introduced me to this company, and I got an offer from that company to move there. So I moved there within a month.
Did you like it?
China.
Yeah, what did you think?
I loved it from the first day.
Yeah.
It was different and so many nuances compared to living in Stockholm.
Yeah, they seem like, well, I haven't been to Stockholm, but this seems, Finnish society seems like exactly the opposite of China.
Exactly. 360 degrees.
Yeah. Everything's so orderly here and so quiet. And everything's completely different. Mm. Well, but I mean, it's easy for me as an American to come here and just go, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like, it just feels, it feels very normal for me, let's say. And easy to come and just, oh, I can speak English. Oh, wow, that's helpful. Okay. don't need to learn the language just to come travel here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Katie and I have only been here, not even a week yet, but we've had a good time here so far. Good side trip.
Yeah.
But soon we'll be heading into St. Petersburg in a couple days.
I'm excited.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about the Trans-Siberian Railway. Did you guys take it together?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was when we decided to move to Finland, we decided that we want to take the a good ending to the story of China. So we decided to travel by train to Finland.
From Beijing?
Yeah, we actually flew to Khabarovsk, then to Vladivostok, and from there, from the East Russia, and took the train from there.
Okay. So what was it like? I mean, so Vladivostok is a city on the coast, right?
Like, yeah.
Is it very Russian?
Yes.
Because it's right next to China, and it's right next to, pretty close to North Korea, right?
It's close to China, yeah, and North Korea.
Yes.
But it doesn't have any of that cultural influence?
No, but it has a lot of Koreans and a lot of Chinese. Actually, we lived in Chinatown in Vladivostok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We stayed outside of the city first, and then we moved to Chinatown. It was very fun to live in Chinatown. Yeah. We were pretty happy. All the cheap vegetables and our stuff was somehow already falling apart in the beginning of this trip, so there were a lot of shifus who could repair a backpack or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Because things were only going to get more expensive, right, as you went further to the west?
After China, I would say Russia felt very, very cheap. I remember when we just started our trip, I was like, wow, it's really cheap in here. Because you divide all the prices by 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
All right. Well, that's exciting because
it's very exciting. You divide everything by 10.
Yeah, because we were in Iceland, and it's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, multiply everything.
Multiply by 10, whatever you're used to. It's insanely expensive. And then now we're in Finland, and it's pretty expensive.
Yes, Finland is expensive. Yeah.
But at least you're only multiplying by 1 point something. At least from. Compared with prices that I'm used to in the States. Yeah. And so now Russia, it's like, okay, now we can drop down.
Now you can divide by 10.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll have fun.
Yes. 3,000 rubles is what? 300 yuan, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
300 rubles, it's what? 30 yuan. And so on. Divide everything.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And so what was your first night you went from Vladivostok to where?
No, yeah, I think we first flew to Khabarovsk. From Khabarovsk, we went by train to Blagoveshchensk.
No, no.
No? How was it here?
We first took the... We went to Kamchatka.
Yes, right. We went to Kamchatka to see my father.
Ah, okay.
Yes, that was a very important trip to spend some time with the family.
But, okay, so you're not only just from Kamchatka, right? You're from, like, some little village?
Village in the middle of Kamchatka. But we didn't fly quite there. We flew south. There is one big town, Petropavlovsk, I don't know, 100,000.
100,000 to 200,000.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a fair amount of people.
I think 140,000, something like that. So my father from our village, Palana it is called, he flew also there and we met there. And his wife, my stepmother. So we all met there.
So do any roads go to your village?
No.
No? You have to fly?
You have to fly. But now the situation has improved because they constructed a new airport and they're flying pretty regularly. Because previously, if there was a cloud in the sky, they won't fly.
Oh, wow.
So you have to stay in the south of Kamchatka and wait until the cloud goes away.
And I imagine there's a lot of clouds there.
Yes.
A lot of days where you can't fly.
You can just stay there for like 2 weeks or something.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And now with the new airport?
The new airport is much better because before there was this old plane and from Soviet time. It's called An. It takes like 12 people.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were so old. They were so old. Their doors were literally falling apart.
Oh.
The doors, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. You just have, all you have to say is Soviet plane.
Yes.
And I've got a picture of it.
Yeah. But now we have Yak. It is a bigger plane. I think it's about 30 people it takes. And it has a better flying capacity. Ability to fly is much higher.
Okay.
And
it's called Yak.
Yak, yes.
Wow. Yak. How's the food on Yak?
On Yak, I think mostly it's fast carbs, as most of the airlines are trying to feed you fast carbs because it's cheap. And
just the name of the airline sounds like that.
Yak is the name of plane. Airline is only one almost. Aeroflot. You remember that? Yes.
Yeah. We flew them once to Berlin.
Yes.
From Beijing.
Yeah.
And we really liked Aeroflot.
Yes.
We did. It was so nice. Katie always messes around with me because I like the uniforms that the flight attendants wore. It's like, ooh, yeah, those are nice uniforms.
Yes. But
very good service.
Well, they improved a lot, actually, because they were famous for very bad service. They almost went bankrupt because Russians couldn't take it anymore, yes.
Huh.
But then, I think in 2000s, already some time ago, they made something with their staff and they improved significantly. Yes, now it's good.
We had a great experience.
Yes, yes. Now it's good.
Just had a couple hour layover in Moscow and we didn't leave the airport because we didn't have our visas. But it was totally fine.
Yeah.
But now we do have our visas, so now we can actually go.
So, Yari, did we go first to Kamchatka? First we went to Vladivostok. But what about Blagoveshchensk? Where did we?
So, Khabarovsk, Vladivostok, then to Petropavlovsk in Kamchatka.
Yes.
And then we went back to Vladivostok.
And then Blagoveshchensk.
And then we started our train journey.
Okay.
But between Khabarovsk and Vladivostok, there was a train also.
Yes.
Yes.
So we took the train to Blagoveshchensk was the first stop.
First stop, by official Trans-Siberian was in Blagoveshchensk.
There's a train that goes beyond Vladivostok?
Yes, to Khabarovsk. Yes.
No. It's towards Moscow already.
Towards Moscow. Because here is Khabarovsk, here is Vladivostok, here is Blagoveshchensk, that direction.
Wow. It's just, it's interesting because I think of the Trans-Siberian as this one thing.
Really?
And then as this long train ride, right?
Yeah.
And then you can connect more routes on either end.
Yeah.
So we're going to go from here, from Helsinki, into St. Petersburg.
Yes.
By train.
Yes.
And then from St. Petersburg to Moscow by train. So you can go all over Europe and all over Asia and into China, all by train. It's really exciting to me.
It is.
So cool.
Yes.
I once took a train from Saigon to Beijing.
Oh, really?
That took like a week or two. And so you can go all the way from the southern part of Southeast Asia to Spain if you want to, all by train.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, that was a good trip. Anyway, so once you got on the Trans-Siberian, you went Vladivostok to where?
First stop was Blagoveshchensk.
Blagoveshchensk, yes.
Blagoveshchensk. I haven't seen this one on the map.
It's very small.
It's a small, quite small city at the border to China.
Yeah.
Border of China.
Yeah, but one of the best people are there in Blagoveshchensk. They are very welcoming.
Yeah, they're
we
very,
like
very
the
nice people.
We like the people.
Very good experience.
Oh, okay.
And also we met the bear.
Yeah, we met a bear there.
You met a real bear?
Yes.
What was the bear's name?
Simeon was his name.
Yeah.
He was eating cucumbers.
Was it a circus bear or something?
No. We decided you should first explain.
So we were going to work out at the gym. So as we do
at CrossFit gym.
At a CrossFit gym.
Except traveling, we were doing CrossFit all along the way in Russia, in every place where we stopped. In Khabarovsk, we were in the box.
They all have their own gyms?
Yes, in Vladivostok, we were in the box. And in Blagoveshchensk, we went to the box.
Yeah, and outside the box, there was this bear, just happened to be there.
He just lives there.
Just sitting there? In a cage?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
He was eating cucumbers, I mean. Very passionately.
Yeah.
Huh.
But the bear had been rescued. The mother had been died, and the bear, the
teddy bear. He was a small bear. He was small rescued bear. Because otherwise he would have died. So.
Huh. And friendly people, I guess, rescued him. Huh.
Yes. Well, they had to put him in the cage because otherwise he's dangerous. It's a very big animal.
Right, yeah, I found this. Some animals, you just, once they've had human contact, you can't really release them.
Mm. Well. Yeah, I think so, because he's used to getting fed and stuff. I don't think he can survive in the wild. No, not anymore.
And won't survive, doesn't know how to hunt, that kind of thing.
Mm.
All right, so then you continued then, westbound?
Yeah, next stop was Ulan-Ude.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's going to be our last stop.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Ulan-Ude is by the Lake Baikal, okay?
Yes, that's true, but we never could really agree with Buryat people to be our guides around Lake Baikal, so we decided to approach Baikal from the next stop.
From the next stop.
Yeah.
Oh, and what was that?
Irkutsk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, we're going to spend maybe a week around Irkutsk, or maybe a little less, around Irkutsk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's totally worth it because we were there quite short time in Baikal. We would like to come back.
We were there
3 days maybe, I think.
4 nights maybe.
Yeah. There is a route, I think Katie knows about it. The great, what is it called? Great Baikal
Trail.
Oh, the hiking trail.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah.
Or part of it at least?
Part, a small part.
Oh, okay. So that's your main recommendation?
Yeah.
It was very nice.
We'll have to do that.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's.
So we took the bus from Irkutsk to, was it Listvyanka?
Yeah, Listvyanka.
And from there you can take the trail to some smaller villages.
But you should really watch out because... In Listvyanka, we actually met a guy, Nikolai. Maybe I will give you his, if I can find him, my email.
Very
contact.
Good host.
He's a very good host, and he really explained us about the route. Because the route is not like you may think that it's very well pointed and you know where I'm going. It's basically a wild forest.
Okay, there not are, any signs?
No, there are signs, I don't know, every 10 kilometers or something. Yeah. But the main thing is that it goes from Listvyanka, at least, it goes two ways. So if we wouldn't talk to Nikolai, we would take this way around the rocks. And this way around the rocks, you literally have to hang like a rock climber, you know? Yeah, so it's a little dangerous because if you fall down, you may break your neck. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But there is alternative route which goes through the forest.
But it was just a small part. It goes around this dangerous.
Well, but you should really clearly not climb there.
I'll look out for it.
Yeah.
We actually went the bad road route, and then after a while we said, nah.
Because we were just hanging there at some point. We were like, we started. With our backpacks. That was interesting.
Yeah, pretty stable then.
Yeah.
So avoid that part.
Yes, avoid that part. Go through the forest.
That area has a lot of good banya, so must take a good banya there.
What is this? Banya?
Banya is sauna.
Oh, sauna is banya?
Banya.
That's a Russian word for it?
Yes.
Ah, okay. What's the name of the city?
Listvyanka.
Listvyanka, and that's where this guy is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Very nice guy, Nikolai. He has a very good sauna.
Banya.
Banya.
Yes.
Yeah, so we took the banya for 1.5 hours. We did it Finnish style, just throw water and sit there and then have some tea and go to the cold water and back and forth. Then afterwards he asked how we did the sauna and we said, yeah, we had a good time and we just sat there and threw water. It was not acceptable for him.
He wasn't happy with that?
He wasn't happy.
What are you supposed to do?
He told me to go back inside. He put more wood.
Oh, you just weren't there long enough.
No, that wasn't it. He put on a hat, a fur hat and fur gloves, and told me that I should lie on my belly on the plank. He put me the sauna very hot, and he took these birch, what do you call, branches?
Yeah, yeah.
And he started beating me.
With two hands?
With two hands. Well,
yes, that's very important.
Beating you because he was mad or just...
You don't know.
Oh, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So...
Beat each other with birch branches.
Yes.
Really,
Russian style.
Yes.
He was really beating me there and gave me. It was a wonderful experience.
Oh yeah.
It's very good for you. Yes.
Okay.
Good for your blood circulation and for your skin. Yeah. You will relax.
Wow.
For your muscles.
But the
one, very healthy.
But the one who beats is a very tough job. He is very hot there. He's just beating.
Yeah, the one who beats gets very tired, actually. You are just relaxing.
Yeah.
Because you are supposed to relax. You lie down and relax. He doesn't beat you on your face, so don't worry. He just beats you on your back, on your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Not on your face.
You don't have, like, red marks all over you?
No.
And after each beating, you go to the cold water.
Yeah.
And then you go back. He gave me 3 rounds, and I was so grateful to him. I was just, Nikolai, thank you. Spasibo, spasibo. It was...
Oh, all right. Well, I'll have to try it, you know?
Yes, you should try it. And he's very... He's one of those real Siberian men. Yeah, not many left. Or like, you don't... At least living in big city like Moscow, you don't meet this type of people very often. He lives in Listvyanka, which is village in Lake Baikal. That's a different story.
Yeah, real tough guy?
No.
Or
no,
just wilderness
very,
guy.
Very, like, very fond of nature and very hospitable. And, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds great. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this, getting out there.
Yes, Banya.
To the banyas. Does Moscow have banya? Or is that more of a Siberian?
Yes, no. Moscow has, it has very old banya. Actually, it's called Saduny. Saduny it is. I think maybe this few centuries old. I'm not sure. But we didn't make our way there yet. We haven't been there. But we have a friend in Beijing, actually, who is from Moscow. He recommends us to go to this Saduny.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a banya.
Well, maybe we'll look into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what did you guys do after Irkutsk?
Which city is the next one? Was it... Krasnoyarsk.
Yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes, Krasnoyarsk.
Krasnoyarsk.
Yeah.
I've kind of been studying the map, and I think that's the next big one, big city.
Yes, big city, yeah.
And how was it there? Anything you can recommend?
Yes, there is this Stalby, the nature resort, which is like, you know, the rocks. Similar, a little bit similar to Zhangjiajie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit similar. So that's the main attraction, and they have other natural resorts around Krasnoyarsk. But that one with the rocks, Stalby, it's very close to the city. It's very easy to get there. Yeah, I think that was the main thing we were doing there. And
we were with
I have a friend actually who comes from the village near Irkutsk, not quite in Irkutsk. It's similar to Palana. I'm from Palana in Kamchatka, so she's from the village from around there.
Okay, yeah.
We met in Moscow.
Huh.
Yeah, so her parents still living there. So what we did, we went to dacha, I think, to this summer cottage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Russians are very passionate about summer cottages.
Oh, okay.
It's a similarity to Finnish people.
Huh.
Yeah, usually as a family you have a flat and you must have a summer cottage where you grow vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Huh.
Very important occupation. Yes.
So we'll be there in September. Will it still be summer cottage time then?
September, I think the end of the season must be. But I think it's still good time. September is
not too cold yet.
No, we call it golden autumn, or
We
call it like second summer, September.
Huh.
Or women's summer, somehow it's called.
Women's summer?
Yeah, I don't know why, like Babye Leto. And when I think, okay, Babye Leto, where did it come from? Why it is Babye? I have to Google it. I don't know why. But it is So September is a good time.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and I think this natural resort will be very beautiful with the red leaves and everything. Yeah.
September. Oh yeah, the fall colors will
yes,
be okay.
Yes, I think so.
Well, we'll have to stop by there.
Yes, you definitely should go to resort.
Okay. This is the thing, though. We had to buy all of our train tickets already.
Oh.
So we're not really flexible on dates, but we are stopping in Krasnoyarsk, so for a couple days at least.
Well, it's we were there very shortly. We were there like two nights, right?
Yeah.
I think one day we did dacha, and second day we did the resort.
Okay.
Because the city itself is just industrial city.
Mm.
Well, Irkutsk is very beautiful near the Lake Baikal, but Krasnoyarsk is just similar to our next stop, right? Which was Novosibirsk.
No. Next stop was good, Yekaterinburg.
Ah, Yekaterinburg, okay. I'm jumping forward.
Yekaterinburg
is good.
Yekaterinburg.
You will stay there?
We'll stay there, and we were going to go into the mountains for a while, the Ural Mountains.
Oh. Yes. It's
hopefully.
You want to find the sign which divides Russia to Asia and Europe?
Oh, that'd be cool.
There is one.
Yeah, it's in the city or
it
nearby?
No, it's nearby, yeah.
Is it just a sign some guy put in and like arbitrarily, or is it actually, is there some meaning to it?
I don't think it's, well, I'm not sure.
Is it on top of a mountain at
least? No. I think there is a resort. I was there some years ago, not this time. We went there with Yari. It's near the skiing place.
Hmm.
It's a white mountain, so it's near there,
the
sign.
Maybe I'll look into it. That's always fun, like those transitional places.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago I was at home in the States, and you know how Americans have this reputation kind of sometimes for being bad at geography?
I have a good story about America.
Oh, okay. Do you mind? Then you do it. I was talking to a friend of a friend, and we were looking at the globe, and I was telling her some places I've been. And we were talking about the continents, all the continents of the world. And I said, well, you know, this is, or she said, what's this? Is this Europe or is this Asia? And I said, well, this is Asia, pointing to it, and this is Europe. Mm-hmm. And she said, they're connected. She had no idea. Like, yeah, they're connected.
Yeah.
I don't know why they call it two different continents. It's all one big landmass.
Yes.
But apparently right in the middle, someone decided that they're going to draw a line there and say they're two different continents.
Yes, I think so. Well, I remember this is just forest, mountain, and there is a sign. So that's it.
All right, well, we'll look for it.
Yes.
So what's your story, your American geography story?
Well, it's just a guy who is majoring in geography. He didn't know where Kamchatka is.
Majored in geography.
Yes, majored in geography. I'm like, how is it possible? And I told him, now remember, please, that I'm from Kamchatka. And I showed him, and he was really surprised that it's very far.
Oh, okay.
I showed him Palana as well. So now he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew about Kamchatka because I've read a book, a memoir that takes place mostly there. It was really interesting. This American guy, he was skiing once, and he had an avalanche. This is in the States.
Yeah.
And he broke his pelvis. And they put a plate on his bone to put it back together. But he had all this pain all the time.
Mm.
Very bad injury. And he was on some skiing expedition or something in Kamchatka, and he ran into a village with some, I don't know the name, but the native people there.
Oh, yes. Karyaki.
Karyak.
That's probably right, yeah.
Yeah.
And this old lady said, well, I can fix you. And she was over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And he's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, I'm a scientist. I don't believe in medicine man or, you know, healers. Mm. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Mm.
But then he said, well, what do I have to lose? I'll try it. So he basically got naked, and this old lady kind of looked at him and like touched a couple things and said the raven, I think it's the raven will heal you or something along these lines.
Yes, because they think that the raven, he found the land, the aboriginals, is their belief.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And I think after that he never had any pain again, and he was like, wait, why did that work? What's going on? So he wrote a memoir about this whole experience.
Oh.
But he kept going back to Kamchatka.
Yeah.
And back to seeing this old lady, because she was so kind to him and such a wonderful character, and all the people of this village.
In Kamchatka, people are very nice. If you have opportunity to visit sometime,
uh-huh.
when we were doing Trans-Siberian, we went to the middle of Kamchatka. There is a village, it's called Esso, very small village. You can take from the south of Kamchatka with this town of Petropavlovsk, you can take a bus on a bumpy, very bumpy road, and you will end up in the middle of Kamchatka. It's a village of Esso.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was very interesting. Our hosts, even they were very. When I was talking to them on the phone, they seemed a little bit strange, and I was like, Yari, I think they are very strange guys. But anyhow, I somehow booked because there is nothing really. There is some stuff online, like on Booking or TripAdvisor, but then it gets very expensive.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to spend so much money, obviously, because we are traveling, and also ending up not in the cheapest place in the world, here. But then when we got there, we found out that these guys there, I think they're over 80 years old. They're super old.
Wow.
They used to have like a, it's not a hostel exactly, it's like a, actually it's a, well, it's a big land with their, a lot of stuff, greenhouses and two houses, wooden houses, and they don't host people anymore. But somehow when I called them, they liked me for some unknown reason.
Okay.
Yeah. And they just decided to host us. And they were very like kind and giving us, I don't know, kaviar and like village butter and like free of charge, just total strangers.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
It's one of the best parts of travel, really, running into characters who help you out along the way and show you their lives, and I love it. So
yeah, it's very interesting. We met a lot of good people. So next one was Yekaterinburg, was it? So
yeah.
Yes.
Huh. Well, the thing with Russia is we can only get a visa for 1 month.
Oh.
For 30 days. So we're using all 30 days, but it's a giant country. So
yeah, 30 days. You can't get 3 months. No.
I don't think, maybe we could apply for some special visa, but I think tourist visa, we can only get 30 days. So we'll have to come back some other time.
But you know, Dan, usually it's good thing with Russia, there is always a way around it.
Oh,
So here in Finland, for example, Yari is married to me, but it doesn't give us a lot of easy way to get visa because he's my husband. And because we are not legally married in Russia, because I have to fix a lot of papers and I have no energies right now to do that. So we found agency who is doing Russian visas. So these kind of agencies, they are also in China and in US, I'm sure, who are dealing with Russian visas. So you just pay them money.
Yeah.
And they get you a visa. Huh. 3 months or 1 year. Yari got 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
1 year multiple entry travel visa.
Yeah.
Well, maybe later we'll look into that.
Agency. It's not how much it costs, it's some money, but not too much.
Okay, so I actually went to the embassy in Beijing and did all of the applications there. Which took a bit of work.
Yeah.
But it saves some money.
Yes.
But again, only 30 days.
Yeah.
This time around for China, we went through one of these agencies to get our Chinese visa.
Ah, okay.
That was quite easy and straightforward then.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're happy to have multiple entry visas for China, but not for Russia, just once.
Okay.
But we'll see, you know, assuming we like it, maybe we'll come back for a longer trip sometime in the future.
Well, if you come to Kamchatka, I think you should visit Kamchatka.
Kamchatka.
Very good people. And also,
cool.
Volcanoes and everything. And
bears,
natural springs, a lot of hiking.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll, so we're going south from Ulan-Ude into Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll miss the whole far eastern part of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a lot of area that we still have to see.
that's a good part. But I think the best part, well, all of it was interesting, but I think Kamchatka deserves a separate journey.
Yeah.
If you like hiking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then, definitely.
Very beautiful.
That seems like a unique place for sure.
It's very unique, and it's very much better last maybe 10 years or so. It's much better organized, like, because many places are not very accessible. So, or it gets just too expensive to get there by your own. So it's very convenient. You can join a group.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure.
And also it's much safer, because if you go yourself in the woods with the bears, maybe it's not a good idea.
No, right, right.
Yeah. So.
You don't mess with the bears.
No.
You take some cucumbers, though, just in case.
I don't know.
Some cucumbers.
Last time we saw...
Not last time. Last time we were hiking in Kamchatka, we saw two bears.
Oh, wow.
It was 2015.
Are they grizzly bears, do you know?
No, brown. They're bigger.
Yeah, that, okay, I think that's the same thing. I'll have to look into it. We normally call them grizzly. Americans would say grizzly or brown bear as the same for like the ones that are in Alaska. But they're huge.
Yes.
So big and dangerous. Those things scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could kill you just like that. Just you're dead.
Yes, but if you go, well, you go in summer, they're well fed and you just don't mess around.
As long as they're not hungry, I guess.
Yes, yes, it's okay. Don't just go there when they just wake up and you're just walking in the woods.
Yeah, like, oh, some food.
Yeah.
All right. So what else? After Yekaterinburg, did you just go to Moscow then?
No, no, not so fast. No.
Where else did you go?
Where? Now was Novosibirsk.
Novosibirsk.
But the only real reason we went to Novosibirsk is that I have family there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my cousin and my aunt and my another cousin and two of their kids living there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is it a big city?
Yes, Novosibirsk is a very big industrial city. Yeah, it's famous mostly because of Novosibirsk State University. I would say industry. Well, we didn't stay long. We stayed just a day. We did a workout in CrossFit gym.
Oh, you did it.
We did everywhere in Yekaterinburg, also, all of those. Yeah, it was all along the way to keep the shape. Because at that time I was, well, we usually try to be active in sport. And I did a boxing match before we left Beijing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How was that?
Oh, it was interesting. I lost, unfortunately, but I think mainly I lost not because, mainly because of I just couldn't handle the psychological pressure. Can you imagine? You go there to fight and it's just so much pressure. You can't, it's hard to explain if you have never done it. Maybe you should.
No, I've never done it. No.
You should try.
I don't want to get hit in the head. My head is messed up enough.
Yeah, it was interesting. Well, yeah, it was interesting. We did how long? Half a year or 3 months? How long did we prepare, Yuri? We did some weight cut. I didn't cut a lot of weight. It was maybe 4 or 5 kilos of weight cut and a lot of training. And then in the day when I was having a match, I just... For some reason, I was just, maybe it's adrenaline, you just forget like everything.
Once it was really happening?
You just forget everything.
Oh, okay.
It's just your brain can't, you just don't know how to react. You train so, and I did boxing totally 1.5 years, so it's not like I did only 3 months of boxing. So 1.5 years is still some time, it's not a super long time, it's not like 15 years, but still. Yeah, it's just, I just somehow, just it's a blank.
So what, your opponent just came on and started beating you and you
stood
there?
Something. Yeah, I was doing something. I just wasn't, I just didn't do it as good as I could if I wouldn't be in this state, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's very interesting.
Well, so what happened? Did you get knocked out?
No. She won by
she
points.
Is not strong enough to knock me out.
Oh, okay. This is a totally new world for me. I don't know this at all.
Yeah, boxing.
Yeah, I'd be so afraid of it.
Yeah, it's pretty scary to get hit in the head. It's
scary.
Not nice at all.
I know. Occasionally when I tell people that I like to travel around to people ask me if I do any training in self-defense or anything.
You look like, pretty harmless.
No, yeah, me.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But that means someone might want to rob me.
No, I don't
beat
think
them up.
So.
I said, no, I've never done that. I said, no. Most people are nice.
Yeah.
But you never know. It could come in handy, this training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I know. It's not the reason why I started it. I think we had a very good coach in Beijing. A very good coach and a very happy person. There are not a lot of very happy people. So this guy, he's constantly happy. You know, every time you meet him, he's happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he Chinese?
No, he's Filipino.
Oh, Filipino.
Yeah. Right, Yari?
Yeah.
I think so. You should meet him. If you go to Beijing, you can talk to him. He used to be a professional fighter. He's a very interesting guy.
Huh. Okay.
Has big heart. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Huh. It's... Yeah, maybe I should look into it. I don't know. I've never thought about it.
Yeah, I think so. Except boxing, they have a camp, like, what is it, boot camp. It's like aerobic training. You do some drills there, but not real, like, sparring. So if you want to start mild, you can start with the drills and start mild.
Yeah, I'd have to be very mild.
Yeah.
I'd have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, so you went to, Novosibirsk.
And then you're ready.
But is there anything else you'd recommend there? Novosibirsk, besides visiting your family?
Besides, I don't know.
I don't
really think
I need to visit your family.
No. CrossFit gym. No, we didn't do much in Novosibirsk.
Okay.
I wouldn't think so. What else, Yari?
I think we maybe are only staying there a day or something, or maybe we're not staying there. I forget now.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's industrial town with very special architecture, I would say. Yeah, there is nothing much. Well, it's famous for its university. There is Площадь Ленина.
What's that?
The Square of Lenin.
Every city
has the Square of Lenin.
We went to every Square of Lenin in
yes, we did every Square of Lenin. Yes.
Can you still see his body?
Moscow,
yeah. In Moscow?
I think maybe you can. I have never seen it, but maybe you should go see it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Mao.
Oh, really?
I've seen Mao, and I've seen Kim Jong-il, and I've seen Kim Il-sung, the first one.
Oh.
Kim Jong-un is the current one.
Okay.
Kim Jong-un. So I've seen three of the four.
Bodies
of the big communist leaders.
Okay, maybe
maybe I should see the last one. Maybe I can get a special medal or something.
Yeah, maybe a special medal. And after Novosibirsk, where did we go?
Nizhny Novgorod.
Very nice town.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of the map. I remember.
Yes,
yeah.
Nizhny Novgorod. It's famous for its Kremlin.
Okay.
It's very ancient, very beautiful architecture. And it has beautiful rivers, and it's green and nice. We liked it. And and of course we went to gym. Met good people there.
Yeah. Any boxers?
Not really. I think Yari has done boxing lately in St. Petersburg. CrossFit gym. Yeah. But Kremlin was beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
In Novi.
Nizhny Novgorod.
Nizhny Novgorod.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You're doing very good. Nizhny Novgorod. And then we are approaching Moscow finally.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it so? Yes. Then we approached Moscow. Yeah.
And then did you go up to St. Petersburg and then across to here?
Yes.
All by train?
Yes.
Oh, you're doing the exact opposite route as us.
Yes.
Okay.
Exact opposite. But we stayed for some time. I think in Moscow we spent like 1 week.
Yeah.
And we like the eastern part of Russia more.
Oh, okay.
Than both of us.
Okay. I think we'll spend more time there too.
Yeah.
Just a few days in St. Petersburg, a few days in Moscow, then we'll start moving to the
yes.
to the east.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. We like people more, and but Moscow is like any capital, you know. People are just busy earning money and running, and it's a lot of hustle.
I remember learning that Moscow, does it have like a loop line on the subway, like a circle?
It has. It's just not enough. They are building a new one. I think they built already. It has this kaltsyon, this one.
Okay.
Brown one. Yeah.
I learned that if you're going one direction, there's a man's voice who's saying all the stops. Mm-hmm. And if you're going the other direction, it's a woman's voice.
Oh, really?
And so you can tell which direction you're going depending on the gender of the voice.
Oh, really? Yeah. How interesting.
So you can quickly learn.
Subway of Moscow is, I think, the most interesting thing in Moscow. It's very beautiful.
Okay.
And you can hear beautiful music there. So many musicians play in the subway.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Very high-level musicians.
Oh, really?
Like an orchestra, symphony.
Mm. And they're busking? They want the money?
They want, but you are free to give or not to give.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
They just, well, we listened once to violin with Yari.
Yeah, I was just, we were walking the subway and then suddenly I'm just, I don't understand, something is just happening so beautiful, I'm just walking, don't really understand it. Then look, it's just the most beautiful violin I've ever heard. Just in
Wow.
Because there's so many who studies music there, and if you're not the top 1%, then you don't make it.
Then you go to the subway.
Then you go to the subway or a taxi driver or,
Oh, okay.
Maybe not the taxi driver, but...
But yeah, people, they are not very, like, they usually put a hat or whatever and you can throw money.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay, just like anywhere?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I imagine there's good acoustics down in the subway.
Yeah, it's
very good. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
A lot of art everywhere, it's just magical.
It's sort of like sculpture and in subway, It's beautiful.
Oh, well, I'll have to spend some time there.
Yeah.
You will.
No choice, huh?
Moscow's very big.
It takes so long to get from point A to point B. You'll spend a lot of time in the subway.
Yes.
Mm. All right, well, something to look forward to then. So what else? Do you guys plan on staying here in Finland for a while?
Yeah, I think so. That's the plan.
That's the plan.
All right. Well, I guess we've had a nice long conversation.
Yes.
We can wrap it up, and we've got some other friends coming over for dinner. Should be here any minute, I think, and we're going to have a little party. And
a little party. Yeah.
2 days till we head to Moscow. And thanks for all, till St. Petersburg, I should say.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the advice.
Yeah, thanks.
I really appreciate you guys coming on or taking your time to record this with me.
It was fun.
It's been a fun time.
Yeah.
Thanks once again to Yari and Nadia for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. For more updates on this current trip that we're doing and for more of my photography and this podcast itself, you can always go to my website, which is 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you next week.